More than 600 schools in Texas are suing the state legislature again. The schools say they're so underfunded, the system is unconstitutional. And in 2011, a judge agreed with them after the legislature cut $5.4 billion from school budgets. 4 years later, the legal fight is still on. Legislators say the schools need to manage their money better, and the court should stay out of their business. Enter the Houston Independent School District Congress, a group of local students that's adding its own voice to the debate by filing an amicus brief with the state Supreme Court. One of the authors of that brief joins me now. Zakir Tamiz has just graduated from Carnegie Vanguard High School in Houston, and he's currently a freshman at the University of Virginia. Zakir, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you.
This is pretty complicated stuff that you've gotten yourself into. Why'd you do it?
Well, it's a story. A few months ago in April, we took 100 students to Austin, the Texas state capital, and we were lobbied for a school finance bill by Representative Jimmy Don Acock, which would have restored the funding that Texas has been consistently cutting for the past few years. And the bill failed, and it's part of a national trend where we go to our politicians and nothing happens. And so we found this lawsuit that the Supreme Court was looking at, and we said, why don't we turn to the courts? Why don't we see if they might help us out?
And you and a group of about 10 other students then decided to write this brief, and you make an interesting point. You say that you have a unique perspective because you're students. You spend much of your life in these schools. So tell me what life was like for you in your own high school in Houston.
So my high school was one of the better off ones, and it was a magnet school, so we had a lot of students from everywhere who were getting an education that you can't find in many places. But everyone came from different backgrounds, and it was a free public school. So everyone came from different middle schools and different neighborhoods. And it just kind of opened your eyes to the wealth of experiences that are out there. My school district, HISD, the Houston Independent School District, is the largest in Texas, the seventh largest in America. And it's over 80% below poverty line. And there's just so many different schools out there, and everyone has a different experience. And it's just not right.
You felt like your school perhaps was better off, and perhaps unfairly so.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. I mean, what are the stark differences between, you know, your educational experience and someone at a different school that may not have been as fortunate?
So in our brief, we mentioned four major issues that we think need to be talked about. The first is class sizes. And so a lot of schools they'll have kids crammed into the building, and it's hard to get an education if there's 50 people in your classroom. The second thing we talk about are enrichment programs, so arts education, music, PE. We mentioned in our brief that a lot of kids, we don't come to school to learn math sometimes. We'll come to go to orchestra. But, you know, if math is there, we'll learn it too. The third reason we talk about is teacher quality. We need funding to improve teacher certification, to get teachers trained to teach us, because we're human beings and we need a good education. And the fourth reason we talk about is college and career readiness. A lot of schools, they lack the number of counselors that they need for students to apply to college. They lack the resources and the advice on what careers to approach and what vocational schooling is out there. And so these are four major issues that we need to face in Texas because we lack the access.
Zakir, I can tell you've done your research.
Thank you. It was a group of us, and we spent a lot of time just reading. But even more than that, it was our experience. It was growing up in the school system, but that by the time we graduate, we'll have spent about 16,000 hours in the classroom.
Wow. When you put it that way, that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
But a part of the research that you did is you actually went out and you spoke to principals, you spoke to teachers, including the principal of Robert E. Lee High School, where 75% of the students are Hispanic, one-third of the school is an English language learner. That means they come to school and English is not their first language. Tell me what the principal told you about what it was like at Robert E. Lee High School.
So I'm glad you asked, because our brief was a group effort. So one of our team members, Juliana Dunn, she actually decided to go to Lee High School and interview the principal and the teacher. And then she showed it back to the rest of us, and we were impressed because she took the initiative to go out there and interview students at Lee High School. And so what we found from Lee High School was that what you see on paper about schools getting great funding and schools having small classes and schools doing fine is not the same as when you actually walk to the classroom and you see the disparity between what's on paper and what's in reality.
Well, what is the reality? If 75% of the students are Hispanic and many of them don't speak English, what is that like to be a student in that school?
So imagine you walk into a classroom and it's biology. And there's, say, 30 other students in the classroom. Half the room can't really speak English. And the teacher is teaching the class in English for biology. So now not only are you having to learn the language, you're having to learn biology in a different language. And there's 30 other people in the class, and the teacher may not even be certified to teach English language learners. I mean, that's tough. You can't expect anyone to go through that easily.
Do you think people graduate from high school in the Houston area without knowing how to speak English well?
I do. I think that there's a lot of people who manage to get by and just get by, and then once they graduate, they find that they're completely not ready for college if they go there, or they're not ready for vocational school if they show up there. A lot of people talk about high school graduation rates, but another thing to look at is college readiness rates or career readiness rates. If you graduate high school and then you find out you were misprepared in high school.
So, Zakir, you've laid out the problem pretty clearly here. But the question is, I think, that's lingering, is why would more money be the solution to this problem? And that's the whole conversation that you're trying to bring attention to, is that Texas schools are underfunded. But is money the only solution?
A lot of people like to say that money isn't the problem, that, you know, if you can't just throw money into education. And that's true. But money can do a lot of things. And we talk about that because you're right. In our introduction, we said the question lingering in a lot of people's heads is, what would more funding do? Because it seems like we intuitively know that funding will help, but the question is why? And so we say that if you have more funding, you can have more teachers and therefore small class sizes. If you have more funding, you can have more arts programs and therefore more enrichment. If you have more funding, you can get more teachers certified and therefore have better teacher quality. If you have more money, you can pay the salaries for more counselors and have better college and career readiness programs. The money really does help.
The money might help. The governor of your state, Greg Abbott, and lawmakers in the state legislature say it's their job to fund the school, not the courts. That's not where this fight should be played out. And that they have, in fact, sent more money to the schools in the past year, that most of the cuts from 2011 have been restored. And they might ask, isn't it more about how you manage the money that you've already got, again, instead of just putting more money into the pot?
It's a good point that Governor Abbott makes, that it's about the allocation of the money. But that's not the question the court is considering. The court's considering that right now, right here, a lot of students in Texas aren't reading on grade level. They're not prepared for the workforce. They're failing their STAR exams, which is the statewide exam. And so now we can ask these other questions like, oh, but maybe we can use money this way or that way. But right now the question facing the court is, are students getting an adequate education? And they're not. So for a lot of our brief, we left the law to the lawyers, and we left the school finance stats to the financial people. And we just said, this is the quality of our education right now. This is what money can do, and we're just going to tell you. Because we need help right now, and this is why.
Zakir, how old are you?
I'm 17.
17 at the University of Virginia.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Do you see a future in law for yourself?
Yeah. I'm thinking about it, but, you know, we'll take it step by step and see what happens.
I have to say, you kind of sound like a lawyer there a little bit. You've got the language under your belt, I think.
Well, we're trying to keep the language student-focused, so.
Yeah, actually, you know, I noticed that as I read through the brief. It's very well-written. It's very clear. There's not a lot of legalese, and maybe none in it.
Yeah.
Did you have help writing it?
Yeah, so it was a group of about 10 students. So we all kind of bounced ideas off each other. And it took many months and many rewrites, let me tell you. It was not easy, and it took many 4 a.m. nights, but we got through it.
But isn't that a sign that your schools are doing quite well? I mean, this is a polished professional document that's made its way to the Texas State Supreme Court.
So our students come from very different schools in HISD, but a lot of us, we were near the top of our class. You know, we had a good education, and we're going to be honest about that. But our peers and classmates who may not have been able to write a 35-page amicus curiae brief, you know, they matter too, and they're our friends. They're the people in our classrooms.
What do you hope comes out of this?
I think the one thing that we hope could come out of this more than anything else is just for the court to recognize, just to remember what it was like to be in school. And we do that in our document. We just say constantly, we ask the justices, just think back to the days when you were in school. Did you like arts programs? Did you want small class sizes? Did you want counselors to apply to college, and they probably did. And so we're just trying to bring it back to a human face instead of the nameless, faceless numbers that the other lawyers use when they talk about students.
You're studying, as we've said several times now, at the University of Virginia. Did your Texas school education prepare you for UVA?
I don't know yet. My exams are coming up, so we'll see. But it is part of a trend. We talk about it where a lot of students show up and they think they're ready, and then exam time comes and they realize they're not. So we'll see.
Zakir Tamiz, a 2015 graduate of Carnegie Vanguard High School in Houston and a freshman at the University of Virginia. Zakir, thanks very much. Study hard.
Thank you.
And if you're a student, a parent, maybe a teacher in Texas schools, let us know what you think of this interview. Do you agree with Zakir? Is it as tough as he says? Maybe better than he says? Let us know. HereandNow.org.